And welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. Because each of us are the opportunity for life, God, Spirit, whatever word you want to put on that, to show up in us, as us, and through us, in creating our lives and creating a world that has the potential to work for everyone. That is our vision. That is our goal. It is further our goal as part of the International Organization Centers for Spiritual Living that we are moving forward and easily toward this goal, and I'll read it to you. We see a world in which each and every person lives in alignment with their highest spiritual principle, emphasizing unity with God and connection with each other. Wow. A world in which individually and collectively, we are called to a higher state of consciousness and action. That's a big vision, and it's a vision we have no hesitation to claim and to stand in. So as we see you and we know you as living in your highest spiritual expression, we recognize and honor and celebrate you for who you are, for what you're doing, for how you've shown up in the world, for how you define yourself as showing up in the world. And it is in this truth and reality that we come together to celebrate the life moving through us and to learn and to share ideas and thoughts about how to live more abundantly and freely in that truth. This month, our emphasis is the journey of becoming. Now, granted, this is December, which is typically thought of as kind of as the end of the year. Many things coming to a close, many things being wrapped up for the year and looking forward to the new year. However, the truth is, whatever the day of on the calendar, the journey of life, the journey of becoming greater and more and expressing more and creating more is an unending journey. It goes on and on and on. And this may just be the closing of a cycle of that journey. So as we move into this month celebrating it, we do so with ease and freedom and joy. So to know a little more about who we are, watch, listen to this current video. I believe
in one God,
one absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love
and creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life
and the immortality of the individual soul
forever unfolding.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. And that's a word about what we believe. It is an excerpt from a larger document. Feel free to just check it out on our website, cslmidtown.org. Today, our guest speaker will be Reverend Julie Lobato. Julie works at our International Home Office in Denver, Colorado. She's been a minister for many years. She is a seasoned and beautifully heart-centered minister. I've worked with Julie, known Julie since shortly after she was born, but have worked with her over the years in our dance with each other as we've traveled through this thing called life. So Julie will be showing up for a few minutes or in a little while to share with you some great ideas on today's topic. Meanwhile, one of our practitioners will be speaking to you to share with you today's thoughts for the day and also a spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer. Practitioner is someone who has been trained in this teaching, who can use it to make huge changes in their lives and to use it for other people and assisting them. So today we have the wonderful Lee Huffman sharing with you some ideas on the theme. Thanks.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you. It's truly an honor to serve the members of the spiritual community, and I know it's true for all of my fellow practitioners and the ministers here. I hope you all know how special you are and how much you mean to us, especially during this holiday season. Typically, I'll read a passage or an inspirational quote here, but today I want to share an experience that typifies today's topic. Surrender is action. Many years ago, actually in the early 80s, I was working at Hewlett-Packard, and a bunch of us decided to take a rafting trip on the Nantahala River, like the people behind me. There were a bunch of us, and we had several rafts, and we had a great time. The Nantahala, I think, outbound company or whatever, NOC, gave us great instructions at the beginning of our adventure. And one of those instructions was to pull over when we came around the bend, and they would take us out of the water and give us even further instructions. Now, I was 23, maybe 24, and my wife at the time, Pam, was all of 100, maybe 100 pounds, 110 pounds, soaking wet. My secretary, Jean, was there, and her daughter, Mary. They were both on the raft with us. They were about the size of Pam, maybe a little bit smaller. And then Roger, the old guy, was a 50-something hardware engineer. He made up the fifth person on our raft. As I said, we had a great time. Pam and Mary were in the front of the raft. Jean and Roger were next on the tube seat right behind them. And I was sitting up on the back of the raft, sort of giving direction and using my oar to guide us and really taking a lay of the river. And it was really fun. We were moving fast and everything. But when we arrived at the designated resting point, there were several rafting groups that were leaving the instruction site and walking up the road to the building. These were the wise people. Basically, the instructions went like this. One, there's a class 5 rapid ahead with a sinkhole. It's just around the bend. The next point you have to get out is after you survive that rapid. Survive? We should have followed the wise people. Number two, do everything you can to slow the raft down before you get to the rapid. This will keep your boat level and ensure that no one falls out. I was obviously not as in tune with spirit as what I am today. Three, if you fall out and get sucked into the sinkhole, just relax, and the current will toss you right back out, and you can walk out the other side. Okay, I got it. Relax, right? No problem. So we took one last look at those wise people and got back into our raft. The adventurers in the picture behind us have plastic oars, almost indestructible paddles. These were not available in the 80s. We had wooden paddles, which are quite destructible. So as we made the turn, everyone was rowing backwards to slow us down, and the raft was really going pretty slow when Roger hit a big rock and his paddle broke. Of course, the ladies decided that since he was the strongest paddler in the raft, he should have their oars, all three of them. So I'm the only one with an oar in the water. Everyone else is scurrying around, and we are being sucked into this rapid just as quickly as you can see. And all of a sudden, we're picking up all kinds of speed. And then we hit the rapid, and the front of the boat went down, and the back of the raft went up, and I flew over them like a rag doll. I went straight into the sinkhole, and I went under. The boat went over me. What was I supposed to do? What did she say? I don't know. But I did everything I could to get out of the sinkhole. Every time I put my arms or legs out, there would be more water to swim up. The current would grab me, hold me, and throw me to the bottom. They didn't say that would happen. That would have made more sense. But hey, I was 20-something. I could swim my way out of anything. I lost my glasses. I was actually blind. I had to have contacts and glasses to see at the time. But I ended up bruised from head to toe. But I was still in control, trying to work my way out. Then after about a week or so, at least that's how it felt, I was totally exhausted. And all I could think of was going up to heaven and seeing my great-grandfather, because that's where I was going next. So I just surrendered. I surrendered everything and knew that I wasn't going to make it out. Sure enough, as soon as I brought my arms in, the river decided it was done playing with a crazy boy and spit me out like an unwanted ball. I remember seeing a man in a single yellow inflatable canoe. That was going to be my canoe. I grabbed it. I can still see it. Luckily, he knew that I would surrender eventually and that I would be popping up in that exact spot. And he was there to pull out my dead body or my body. He took me over the shore and they gave me a t-shirt that said, "I survived the Nantahala." I love that shirt. I tell you this story because surrendering is action, and it may be the best action we can take. So where do you surrender and let spirit take control? Spiritual mind treatment is nothing more than an affirmative prayer, a prayer that affirms what we desire and what we know God desires for us. Because God desires what we desire for ourselves. Spiritual mind treatment, or simply treatment, is actually a treatment of the mind of the person who is speaking it. It can be, if you wish, a treatment for your mind, but only you can accept it. And if you accept it as your thoughts, as we said a few moments ago, all thought is creative. And how I choose to think creates my personal experience. That's the one statement that just drives home with me. All thought is creative. Everything I think is creative. And how I choose to think creates my personal experience. So I'm going to speak this treatment in my own words. It's a treatment of my mind. And if you choose to accept any part of it as your own, you can think these words for yourself and it will become your treatment. Together, through treatment, we will agree, and what we know and think upon will manifest. So let's get into a posture and mindset of prayer. You may want to sit up, relax your body a bit, put your feet on the floor, open up your arms and legs. Let's take a deep breath and know that we are in this present moment. Take another deep breath and relax with me. Hear this prayer and take any part that resonates with you as your own. Think on these thoughts. Know this with me if you will. There is only one God, one creator, one source, one first cause of all things. God is everywhere, in everything, because it created everything. God is in me. God is in you. God was in the water. God is in all those around me. God is everything that happens to me, through me, around me, to me, and for me. Since God is love, since God is good, everything is love, and everything is good. Today I know that my world is full of blessings. Today I'm truly blessed. Today I'm thankful for all that I have and all that I'm about to receive. Today I can imagine more. I know that wonderful things are coming to me, even if I have not asked for them specifically. I know this because God is a Father, and God is a mother to me. God, which is love, is a loving and giving father and mother to me. All that I desire and all that I believe and all that I can imagine are beautiful in my future. It all comes to me because I trust in Source, I trust in God to give it to me. I am blessed with health. I am blessed with peace of mind, with confidence, with substance, with safety, with amazing relationships, prosperity, a healthy mind, wonderful ideas, security, and many, many blessings, which are the gifts of God. I see this all clearly in my mind's eye, and it is manifesting as I repeat these words in my mind. I know that nothing can get in the way of the blessings that I desire except my lack of surrender. I know that all the health, security, personal and financial abundance, all the clarity and support and other gifts of the Spirit are mine. I do not need to ask aloud for these things because God knows my needs and has been preparing the way for these needs to come to me from the moment I was conceived. I rejoice in all the blessings that I have, as well as all those that I know are coming to me. I know it's unfolding as it should, so I rejoice, I surrender, and I receive. I release these words into the universe, knowing that my thoughts are creative and that they will create my personal experience. I know this is true, and together we say, and so it is.
I will surrender to my greatest, highest good. I will release any fear that blocks my way. For every step I take is taken in pure faith. And I am stronger every moment, every day. My mind is willing and my heart is open wide. I trust my instincts and let Spirit be my guide. I vow to live a life that's real and pure and free. As I continue walking in this mystery, I surrender to my greatest, highest good. I release any fear that blocks my way. For every step I take is taken in pure faith. And I am grateful every moment, every day. There may be walls, there may be roadblocks in my way, but I can choose to take a higher path each day. And now I know what I thought was safe and sound was only habit and regret that held me down. I will surrender to my greatest, highest good. I will release any fear that blocks my way. For every step I take is taken in pure faith. And I am kinder every moment, every day. I'm more loving every moment, every day. I surrender every moment, every day.
Joyful greetings and good morning, CSL Midtown. It is such a joy to be with you this morning as we kick off our new monthly theme, The Journey of Becoming. And I so appreciate Dr. Bob's intro this morning as he introduced the topic of the month. And I so appreciated the practitioner of the day, Lee's incredible story, his story of surrendering. And it was a great example of surrender being an action, for that is our topic for this morning. Surrender is action. And Dr. Bob touched on the global vision for this theme this month, where we see a world in which each and every person lives in alignment with their highest spiritual principle, emphasizing unity with God and connection with each other. A world in which individually and collectively we are called to a higher state of consciousness and action. So with that global vision statement for the month, it makes sense that today we are kicking off the month knowing and affirming that surrender is action. It's active, and it's an active verb that requires a conscious choice to move from control into relaxing into the order of the divine, that order of the divine, that perfect pattern, that perfection that we see in all of nature and know and trust and have faith in, that it is always there. It is always there. So we surrender not into chaos, yet into order. We surrender into that perfect pattern order that is always there, that sometimes we temporarily forget. Surrendering further, we let go of all sense of separation and enter into a state of conscious union. You know, that state of conscious union that is considered the fourth kingdom, that fourth stage of spiritual development where we are in the flow, where we and divinity, that is our unique expression, is one, and that we operate and move and breathe and have our being in the one. You know, in the Hanukkah story, the oil lasted 8 days after the Jewish people, while rebuilding their temple, accepted that it would only last for one, but they lit the lamp anyway. Rather than to try to stretch the oil or otherwise impose their will, they let go of the reality of the situation. They let go of the reality of the situation and miraculously, like the practitioner of the day, Lee's story about when he finally surrendered to the water, surrendered to the movement. Marianne Williamson says, "The moment of surrender is not when life is over, it's when it begins." So surrender involves practicing the presence. It involves the science of mind principle of practicing the presence. And when we do the mind, that quiet the body and open awareness. That is why surrender is an action. That's why surrender is a verb. Beyond these formal methodologies, it is living in alignment with our science of mind principles, making these principles evident in the way that we engage in the present moment, thereby being congruent in thought and behavior, congruent with the divinity and that infinite intelligence. When we surrender to the presence and power of divine love within, anything is possible. Listen for and surrender to inner guidance, we receive exactly what we need. Following it with faith, instead of questioning it or resisting it, moves us to powerful and healing action. This healing action must, by the divine nature of expressiveness, it must extend itself into the world beyond the self, beyond the little s self. I must serve humanity in the greater good, for the inner is the outer and the one in the self. There is no other. Oneness is all there is. From the book Spiritual Power by Llewellyn Vaughn Lee, Llewellyn states, the inner surrender of love servant has a quality that is not passive, but it is dynamic participation with the unknown. We surrender to a reality we cannot understand and are trained to stand in the midst of the emptiness to be available for love's work. I find that to be such precious words, where I surrender to a reality that I cannot understand. And by doing so, I am trained to stand in the midst of emptiness to be available for love's work. Oh, that is deliciously sweet to me. Yet there's some steps involved here, folks. Some steps involved in surrender being an action, surrender being a verb. So let's reflect about personal control, because it really comes down to letting that go. So I'm going to ask you, what do we have control over? Really think about that for right now. Ask yourself in this very moment, what do I have control over? What do I really have control over? Some of you may have come up with the answer within yourself. My thoughts. I have control over my thoughts. Not really sure I have control over much of anything else. I have some limited control over my physical bodily functions, but I do have control over my thoughts. What fear do we have about letting go of control? Because usually the idea of letting go of control is the fear itself, not having control. Let's break that down a little deeper. What fear do you have about letting go of control? Because usually when things are overwhelming, maybe things in life are ramping up, our ego, our mind that is so solution oriented and needs to control situations, needs to control things because it wants to be the driver of the result. It wants to be the driver of the outcome. Yet we know that our self, little self mind, is finite in its ability to know the highest and best. And that there's this perfect pattern out there, this perfect that we see in nature of the whole divine one mind, that infinite intelligence that encompasses and includes all that is. It's not finite. It's infinite. It is in its ability to show up in the moment. So our little self mind, our finite mind, it's typically the ego, which, you know, some say stands for edging God out. That ego thinks the effect on ourselves needs to be controlled, needs to be overpowered and forced or coerced or manipulated in some way. So think of the effect on ourselves when we try to have control of someone or something, whether it's ourselves or someone else, or some experience. What's the effect that typically occurs? I know for me personally, the effect is I am not very clear. I'm not able to feel or think very clearly in that moment. And I become more anxious. You know, I feel myself become anxious, more stressed out, so to speak. It's typically where or when you can long, deep breath and move into that action of surrender. Surrender is about letting the divine spirit in more deeply into our conscious awareness, into our mind and our heart and our soul. When we become still and listen long enough, we will hear the voice of the heart. We will hear the voice of the soul, the voice of spirit itself. So are we willing to be still long enough Are we willing to wait, to move away from the surface of our mind, the surface of our lives? Are we willing to go within and pause long enough to allow that infinite intelligence, that completely unlimited essence of all that knows, all that is all powerful and all that is always present? And I want you to know that that takes a commitment. There's a commitment of our time. There's a commitment of our energy. We can't say, oh yes, I am willing to do that and then be done. It doesn't quite work that way. Because you see, that would be an element of power and control. Like, we're going to control by just deciding, I'm going to be still. I'm going to contemplate. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to listen and then be done with it. It doesn't really work that way. We have to commit to giving ourselves the time for that contemplation. We need to commit and make time for that meditation, for that most important spiritual practice of listening and being present with spirit itself. You know, isn't it interesting that when we start to feel overwhelmed or burdened, that everything else tends to be more important, when we realize that the most important thing to do is to take the time and to meditate? This is the point behind the famous saying by Sukaraj Dhillon: you should sit in meditation for 20 minutes every day, unless you're busy. And unless you're too busy, then you should sit for an hour. You know, in preparing for this message today, this past week when preparing for it, I really got that. I got that quote in a much greater way. Because here recently, my life has felt a bit overwhelming. My colleague in the department that I work in took another position and moved on. And I've been handling both areas for the last few weeks and feeling a bit overwhelmed around that. And it's driven by fear of being afraid something's going to fall through the cracks, or being afraid I'm not going to be able to stay on top of it all. And so the interesting thing is that's when I need to meditate more. Because when we enter that fourth state of consciousness, that fourth kingdom, and enter into that flow, just like Lee, the practitioner of the day, mentioned in his story, once we surrender, then it all kind of comes together. Our highest and best and whatever we need takes place. Meditation is so incredibly key to surrender being an action. So the invitation is to take time to be still and listen to the voice of truth already within, to listen to that for guidance. This way, our actions come from our essence and not our ego, not our little mind, limited mind, but our unlimited, greater connection with the One. And this way, our actions fuel us instead of deplete us. So can you feel the difference between the voice of fear, the voice, and the voice of love, the voice of your heart? Can you feel the difference between those? The invitation here is to live from faith and surrender to our own divinity, our essential nature. It's to follow that in the truth within. And that is incredibly authentic. And that movement that's incredibly authentic, that we lean into and trust more and more and more, and we move from the action of that truth, it's reflected back to us. The greater the movement, the greater and more way we live, then that greater circumference of the circle shows up in our life, where we are truly in that flow, truly in that, what Deepak Chopra says, the law of least effort, so to speak. When we surrender to that oneness that is all powerful, always present, and always knowing. the present at this moment of transition. Through this yes, we open ourselves to what life needs. I discovered in preparing for today's message, I discovered some incredible writings by Gretel Ehrlich. Gretel wrote The Solace of Open Spaces. And there's a few pieces from that that I picked out that I wanted to share with you in this journey of becoming that we are embarking on this month that has to do with surrendering, being in action. Gretel says, space has a spiritual equivalent and can heal what is divided and burdensome in us. Space represents sanity, not a life purified. She goes on to say, the toughness I was learning was not a martyred doggedness or a dumb heroism, but the art of accommodation. I thought to be tough is to be fragile. To be tender is to be truly fierce. Love life first, then march through the gates of each season. Go inside nature and develop the discipline to stop destructive behavior. Learn tenderness toward experience and then make decisions based on creating biological wealth that includes all people, animals, cultures, currencies, languages, and the living things as yet undiscovered. Listen to the truth of the land and it will tell you. Act accordingly. And lastly, she goes on to say, lately I've had to redefine the word knowledge to a knowledge that cannot know anything. I'm dealing not in careless absurdities here, but in the way material wealth and in the way material reality is unobservable, an implicit order can be found in paradox. Perhaps despair is the only human sin. Who am I to feel disappointed? Is a bird disappointed in the sky? I tell you, folks, if ever there's a time where I feel disappointment ever again, I endeavor to remember that quote, who am I to feel disappointment? Is a bird disappointed in the sky? So our call to action this week and going forward this month in our journey of becoming is to truly be still and know you are God. We are called to live it more and more in our own unique way for ourselves and others. From the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes says, one mind should swing from inspiration to action, from contemplation to accomplishment, from prayer to performance. This would be a well-balanced existence. You know, lately, these past few weeks, I have been using this mantra. I invite the essence of grace into this experience. I invite the essence of grace into this experience. Or the Sanskrit saying, thou art that. So our one sentence affirmation for the week is, I lay all burdens on the altar of divine love. I lay all burdens on the altar of divine love. So I invite you to go within and know with me that there is truly an infinite intelligence and a divine energy and essence of love that is always present, that is all powerful and all knowing. And I know that I am one with this energy and this essence. I know that as I become more consciously aware of this oneness, I practice it. I lean into it. I have the trust and the faith of surrendering to that highest and best in all ways. And that I allow this oneness and this connection with divine itself, I allow it to guide and direct my life. With so much gratitude, with so much celebration, and with so much sacredness. And it is with this grateful heart that I let go. I let God. And so it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Julie, for an awesome talk. Thank you. So now it's time for me. I'm Vance Blue. I am the treasurer of the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown Atlanta. And I'm just grateful for having this awesome platform for us to share, to know, to grow, to be better human beings living this life and knowing so much more. That I love that quote, the 40 minutes, or if you're really stressed out, an hour of meditation a day. That's something to be aware of. So with this gratitude, there's an awesomeness that we have to share, and your tithes and giving are greatly appreciated. It helps us keep this going. So if you would say with me the affirmation of prosperity: I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And you can donate online at cslmidtown.org/donate or scan the little QR code. It'll take you right there and you can donate. So on to announcements.
And it's time for everybody's favorite fun game. Announcements, announcements, announcements. Hey, stay in touch with the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown through our newsletter. Get one email a week, letting you stay informed. And please subscribe when visiting YouTube to our YouTube channel. Those subscriptions go a long, long way. And while you're on your social media, why not give us a like and a share on Facebook? Let your friends know what we're doing. Invite them to come watch our services with you. And join us on our Zoom room throughout the week. We offer a variety of Zoom interaction opportunities each and every week here as part of the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. 10 a.m. Sundays, our discussion group around the 365 Science of Mind book every Sunday. 12 noon Sundays, our community fellowship immediately following our Sunday services. And 12 noon on Tuesday, our online empowerment opportunity. The access room information remains the same for all of our Zoom experiences. If you need access, please visit cslmidtown.org and you'll find access information on our website. Join us on any of our Zoom opportunities throughout the week. And while you're with us, be sure to connect with one of our professional practitioners. These are folks that are highly trained to support you along your spiritual journey. You can learn more on our website about our professional practitioners. Just head over to cslmidtown.org, click on About and Practitioners. Then you'll see their bios and a way to reach them and learn a little bit more about each of them. And please send us your prayer requests. Click on the Home tab and look for Affirmative Treatment Prayer Requests. Fill out the form. Send it off and get our professional practitioners praying for you each and every day. All right.
Thank you, Reverend Julie, for that inspiring talk and for all of you who have participated and made this time together a wonderful time. I thank you, those who have attended and listened. I trust you've had a good idea or two to serve you and serve your life in a rich and wonderful way. So join me now, if you will, in our closing, which you will see on the screen in just a moment. I leave this place now knowing something greater than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Have a blessed week.